Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. By looking at some of the people that are seated here in the congregation, not to be pushy or anything, but I think many of you remember Cracker Jacks. And Cracker Jacks had a special draw for those of us when we were children. Why? They had the little prize in the bottom of the box. And you had to go through, and it was always the bottom of the box. It wasn't the middle. It was always way down deep. And I was just talking last night that I remembered only one toy out of all the Cracker Jacks that I ate. I remember one toy that I got. And it was a little bitty submarine. It probably was maybe an inch long. And if you put a little bit of baking soda in it and put it in your bathtub, it would sink and then rise back up. Never worked. It never did that. However, it did go down the drain. And that's when I first learned the lesson about the toe monsters in the drains of the tub that I've taught all my children, and now I'm teaching my grandchildren about the toe monster. And now none of them will take baths. They all take showers. So it's a grandfather's revenge on his children. But the prize was always the thing. And breakfast cereal used to have prizes in them also. The idea is that you would go through the thing and it would encourage you to have that particular cereal because you would be collecting a decoder ring or a set of dishes or something like that. You know, you would get some, even Tide. Didn't Tide used to have something stuck in it that you could get, like a towel or something? But that's what we're talking about today, is that little treasure. At the end, Jesus has the disciples around him, and he's telling all of these stories about the kingdom of heaven. And we read a bunch of them just now, or I read it and you listened. But the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, and the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price, and the kingdom of heaven. And he's talking about leaven, and he's talking about all of these examples about the kingdom of heaven, like it's something that you really ought to desire. Well, duh. We are supposed to desire that. Now, I did in my congregation, and I saw somebody here from my congregation, the one I used to serve. When I came across this lesson, would tell the ushers to pass out mustard seeds to everybody that came to church that day. Not one mustard seed, but three. They had to count out three mustard seeds. And if you've ever seen mustard seeds, you know that all of my ushers quit on me that day. Because it's such a hassle to try to count out three little mustard seeds. Because it's talking about that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. That it starts out small, like our faith, but it's God's faith. It's God's seed that grows. And then he uses all of these examples to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he asks this important question of his disciples. Well, you guys get it? And they say, yeah. If you were able to look at the Greek, we would see that it is not a real strong affirmation. It's one of those things like when you're teaching confirmation class. And in the confirmation class, you ask the students, okay, now what is Luther's explanation of the third article of the creed? That's what it's like. Yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah, you get it. And Jesus responded to that. And hence, he has this last phrase. This is the one that kind of sticks. You know, after you've been doing these kinds of things for a number of years, there are different parts of Scripture that stick out. Well, the kind of thing that stuck out on this particular lesson is this last phrase. What in the heck is he talking about when he says, okay, you understand? Well, then, you are like a master of a household who has this treasure, and he takes out everything that is new and it is old. What's he talking about? He says the scribes. Remember, when we, especially in Matthew's version of the gospel, when Matthew's talking, the scribes were amongst the bad guys. You know, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, these are all the guys that you said, you want to push aside. But now he's saying, you're like a scribe who's schooled in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you're like somebody who went all the way through confirmation and was able to even recite their memorized Bible passage in front of the whole congregation. You're like one of those guys. Who of you can do that now? There will be a test. The idea is that Jesus is telling them that those who understand, who truly understand, are going to be like somebody who is schooled, who studies, who continues to study. Why? Because it's valuable. It's something that they really like. How many times have you read a favorite book more than once? How many times have you seen a favorite TV show more than once? Why? Because you like it and you're entertained by it. You even watch reruns during the summertime, for heaven's sakes. That's what it's like. You're like somebody who completely understands the kingdom of heaven and how valuable it is, and then you take out what is old and what is new. What is really interesting is that when he's talking about the word treasure, the word in Greek is thesaurus. You know what a thesaurus is? All of us have had them. All through high school, we had to have a thesaurus so we could write our themes, so we could write our papers and not always use the same word. Okay, what word can stand for that other word? It's a treasury of words. And that's what he's talking about. So when he's talking about when it is old and what it is new, Jesus himself is saying we have the opportunity to interpret what's written in Scripture. We do not have to take it word for word as it's printed, because the fact of the matter is it has gone through so many hands and so many different languages that things change a little bit. We have the opportunity, those of us who have studied the kingdom of heaven, those of us who have really participated in what God wants in the world, that we have an ability to say, well, that doesn't necessarily apply here. This is probably what this means, because when we think, what would Jesus do? Jesus didn't have an automobile that has 8 cylinders in it. He didn't have an automobile that had 4 cylinders, for heaven's sakes. He didn't even have a remote to turn the channels on TV. We have to be able to interpret. And Jesus is right away saying in this lesson that he's giving us permission to use our brains. We do not have to check our brains in the parking lot when we come to church. We can bring them with us. Now, it doesn't apply today. But when Pastor Snare gets back, you can even argue with Pastor Snare and say, you know, I see it a little bit differently. And you can even tell him I said so. He doesn't have my phone number anymore. I changed it. So what's the advantage of that? Where's the good news that we can actually interpret things? Well, the good news was written by Paul, because what happens is when we can use our brains to be able to really understand what God is encouraging us and drawing us to try to do, we understand that absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Not height, not depth, not peril, not sword, not famine. Nothing in all of God's creation can separate us from the love of God. Amen.